Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Most of us resist change. Our guest, John McGuire, has chosen instead to be a part of sweeping changes in America and the broader world for over 40 years. As a very young man, Dr. McGuire was one of the heroic freedom riders in the 1960s. He worked alongside his friend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and others in the civil rights movement. Then Dr. McGuire took his passion for social justice and the arts into the academic arena, from which he is now retired. He's now taking a lead in a new anti-racism venture. What lessons has John McGuire taken from a lifetime embracing change?
There is a tremendous energy release every time you break set. So if I had any counsel for anybody, it would be periodically break set. And one other piece of counsel, we need a new militancy. That's what I believe at age 70. A new militancy is really sorely needed.
John McGuire is Senior Fellow at the Institute for Democratic Renewal and Senior Consultant for Project Change. In addition to his continuing work for social justice, he's also the President Emeritus of Claremont Graduate University and former President of the State University of New York College of Old Westbury. Dr. McGuire's received 2 Fulbright scholarships. He has a long list of academic grants, awards, and publications. He's received a wide recognition from major social, civic, service, and professional organizations. He's also served an impressive variety of boards and foundations. Dr. McGuire earned degrees from Washington and Lee and Yale universities. Bill Russell and I were intrigued by Dr. McGuire's lifetime of activism and his twin passions for politics and the arts. So we were particularly pleased when good fortune brought us together.
John McGuire, I had recently the opportunity to hear somebody holding forth really quite eloquently, and they said, "You are what you do." And I thought, well, you know, that I probably would have pondered that and thought that was a pretty good idea. It had added weight for me somehow because I was sitting in the Martin Luther King Jr. International Chapel at Morehouse College, and I thought, that kind of is what Dr. King taught us. You are what you do. Well, you've had a lifetime of doing. Do you think there's some sense in that silly little aphorism?
Oh, absolutely. And I, as a matter of fact, King literally used that aphorism. So this is serendipity indeed. Bear in mind just about him that he was coming off an academic career. He certainly understood the sociology of academics and realized that being coaxed into action was really the preeminent challenge as far as bookish people who like to reflect. So it was really a challenge for people, and then just for the lazy, or just for the people who have become cynical. But that notion, by the way, I believe in that very, very deeply, this deep connection between who you are. As they say, your actions speak louder than your words, or through your actions, I really understand what you mean. So I believe in that. I think the completion of one's personal being is in the act. It is wonderful. We writers, poets, the expressed thought. And I cover that by reminding myself that that is a form of action itself. To write, to speak is a form of action. But there's a real sense in which becoming ambulatory, putting legs to it, literal legs to it, is a very important thing. And so I subscribe to that aphorism.
I was thinking that we would start this conversation with one of my favorite stories from John Lewis, who is also a contemporary of yours in the civil rights movement, who quotes the West African proverb, "When you pray, move your feet."
Amen. Amen, Brother John.
This is twice curious to me. Not only did you say, "Oh, freedom rides, I'm going to go do that," you also are an educator. And that could look like quite different paths. And yet it seems to me that that action and that education component may be the same story.
I think it is, though I didn't recognize it as such. There were periods, clearly, when it felt like straddling two diverging roads, hard on the loin area. It stretches you and breaks. I mean, I and often the issue I was putting to myself as a young person was, how can I do both, or how could I do both simultaneously? And again, I think that was in part a function of the role models, those great academic titans and under whom I studied at Washington and Lee and at Edinburgh and at Yale and in Tubingen. Left their offices for meals. They really were the quintessential 19th century academics who
wrote and thought. Name some names.
Well, I had the great good fortune, and I'll name those that I hope your listeners would recognize some of them. James Leyburn, a great internationally known sociologist at Washington and Lee. Marshall Fishwick, an American studies person. E.D. Myers, who was the biographer of Toynbee, and in fact, Toynbee's closest American friend, and help him assemble those multi-volumes in the study of history. I actually went directly from college to Edinburgh on a Fulbright scholarship in order to study with the two great lions of Edinburgh, the famous theologian John Bailey and the Gifford Lecturer philosopher John McMurray. Came back to Yale, and Yale at that time was peopled by the greats. Richard Niebuhr, probably a slightly lesser known than his brother Reinhold, but many think a profounder theologian. Roland Baton, the great church historian. Robert Calhoun, the great theologian. So I had the good fortune, but none of them could remotely be called an activist. So I had in the academic no models for engaged activism. On the other hand, through another pathway of a chance meeting with King when I was 19 years old, and he just 3 years older than me, a friendship that developed to the end of his days, I had people who modeled another form of life, life in the street. The wonderful thing about King was that he bridged those two in his own being, was able, as you well know, to actually hold down a pastorate of a church, that is, do the work of a pastor in a parish to some extent for many years of his career until it really overtook him. But it was no coincidence that when I went to Claremont in 1981 as president of the Claremont Consortium, the board chairman said, "Are you going to have an inauguration?" And I said, I don't believe in them. They cost too much money, and you don't know me well enough to celebrate anything. But I tell you what I will do, and that is start a forum. And it turned out we did it for 17 consecutive years, in which we bring thinkers and actors, and we'll make the theme of the first one the twin passions of my own life, which are the arts and politics. Now, in some ways, those are emblems for the thing we're talking about now, the arts, the contemplative, the inner, the private, the personal, the expressive, politics, the expressive again, but now expression in action, in strategy and policy and so forth. So all my life, I've struggled in a way to put the two together, and finally realized in the latter years of my public career that you could fashion a life that just embraced them both, and have a whole, not a warring life, but a whole life that the parts of you cooperate with each other.
And cooperate they do with John McGuire. Bill Russell and I are delighted to have you with us here on the Paula Gordon Show. The three of us will be back in a moment. Please do be with us when we return.